All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing this fine morning? Not doing so great, I guess. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bird Park Church. It's great to see you. Great to see you too, Cohen. I'm sorry that we abandoned you. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Bird Park Church. It's a beautiful day, a beautiful Sunday, a beautiful Jazz Tracks weekend. It took a team to set everything up today. Real quick, I just thank you for this whole team. Everyone, could you get a round of applause for this team that set everything up today? Everything was backwards. This sound system is being held together by a lot of duct tape and prayer right now. So it was all on me today. So thank you guys for your patience ahead of time if anything happens. Real quick, if you got the smartphone, get out and scan the QR codes on your tables there. Follow along in the lyrics today. We got some amazing worship lined up today. I don't know if you guys need any encouragement today. I just felt myself needing a simple something from Scripture today. And, you know, part of this came from just Ron bringing the word today, a great teacher I found over my years here, a great teacher who's just brought us through so much in the word. Out of Isaiah, we hear this word from God to the ancient Israelites, giving them encouragement as they face all those challenges. It goes like this in the message: cry for help and you'll find its grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he'll answer. Just as he kept you alive during the hard times, he'll keep your teacher alive and present among you. Your teacher, God, will be right there, local and on the job, urging you on. And whenever you wander left or right, he'll say, this is the right road. Walk down this road. Anybody need that little voice behind you to just say, this is the right road. Continue on. Or, hey, let's turn right here. Let's turn left. I hope you hear that today. We also have an awesome message from Janie Sue. Because we're even closer to Christmas. It's 1 week closer. And how can we prepare for that, Janie?
In a very easy way. Okay. We've got all the kids shopping, packing kids here. Okay. We're in the camera now. Yay. Okay. While I'm talking here, where did you go? Oh, there you are. Penelope's going to be passing out some little prayer cards for you guys in case you want to pray for the next 30 days for our shoeboxes and actually for the entire year to make sure the shoeboxes get to where they're going. So go ahead and start doing that. And then these guys know what they're doing. I'm the one that needs help. Just so you know, last year online we packed 68 boxes and we mailed 57 boxes, which I believe, if I add it correctly, which there's never any necessarily going to be right, it's 125 we did total last year. So right off the bat, Operation Christmas Child Chew Boxes are due November 21st at the Avalon Community Church by 2 p.m. Now, I know it's tough, but shoeboxes cannot be accepted after that due date and time. And the reason for that is because, you know, we pack the boxes and cartons in the afternoon, and early the next morning, Catalina Flying Boat picks them up and sends them to the mainland. So after that, we have nowhere to put any of the shoeboxes. Though if you're late, I could give you an address that you could mail the shoebox or deliver it yourself if you'd like to. Anyway, Penny has a little piece of paper right here that does happen to mention when the shoeboxes are due and who to contact if you have questions. It'll be over there at the table at the end of the service. You may drop off the shoeboxes at any church service we have or any time up at the church itself before that time as well if you like to. Now, we have some shoeboxes here. One shoebox, you can use your usual OCC shoebox, such as Michaela has right here. Go ahead and close it so they can see the entire box right there. Yay. Open it again. Yay. Now what you can do here, notice on the inside, there's some artwork done in there. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And there's a big old brave bear right there. So remember, I had never thought about that till I saw it this year, that you are able to decorate the inside of your box top, which is really cool, I think. Also, If you want to personalize it even more, you can use the Bible sheets that Penny's holding right here. One side says, there will be lots of things that I like to do or something. What does it say? There are lots of things I like. And on the flip side, it says, there are lots of things I like. And the third side says, let's be friends. So that's also available up there as well. And then we have, it's coming. No, not Maddox. Bella, thank you. I knew that. I know that. Bella. Bella has the traditional shoebox that we often we pack. And you'll notice she's got inside the traditional things such as toothbrushes, a little bear, socks. And Bella, what else did you say today we could pack?
We can also pack toothbrushes and hair supplies. And we can maybe pack clothes for boys and girls.
Yes, thank you very much. And also, on the table, we've got how to pack a shoebox, and you'll see other listings on there as well. Then we have Maddox here. And Santa, where are you, Santa?
I'm right here.
So Maddox, step out here so Santa can see that you are wearing the box properly this year. I didn't notice last year there was a... No, he's not going to... He does show you how he can pack himself in the box, but he can't go, but... Last year, I didn't see there was a boy in a girl box, and you graciously pointed out he was in the wrong box. So I wanted to let you know graciously he's in the right box this time. Yes. Oh, that's true. We don't. Okay. Good. Okay. But he's got a box now. Look at this. If you want to pack your own box, you can. If you pack your own box, you can decorate it with really cool paper and look inside. If you do pack your box with wrapping paper, you must make it so the box top is loose and can be opened up. Because all the boxes, when they do go to the processing center, they're opened up so they can take any money out that's been put there for shipping and add things. Things need to be added, or if things like money was put in there, or if toy guns were put in there, which should not be in there, they would take those out. So you got to be able, they have to be able to get into the box. So thank you for that. So talking about the $9, please include $9 with your box. $9 covers the cost of collecting the boxes, processing and shipping to over 160 countries, plus publishing costs of the Greatest Gift gospel booklet, as well as training local churches and other projects. Now, online packing is available again. And as soon as I get a heads up from the OCC that our site is ready, I will forward it to Superwoman Katie to add a link to the church's website as she did last year. And the link actually came through last night. So this week I'll send it to you. And then you can go to the church and pack a box online. You can go online and just pack a box yourself if you want to, but if you do it with the church's site, we get credit for that. So I'd like to add that to our regular boxes. But credit doesn't matter, remember. What matters is the boxes get packed and get sent out. That's the main thing. Okay. Have to breathe. This Thursday, we will have a booth at the Harvest Festival to raise money for Operation Christmas Child. So please stop by and say hi and check the booth out. This may be a good time to remind you that if you don't have time to pack a shoebox, you can donate money and we'll pack a box for you. Won't we? Yes. Where will we pack the box? Well, we will pack the box in at our tentatively planned packing party on Wednesday, November 17th. Think about it. That's only 1 month away, people. I cannot believe that. We'll be having the party. Yeah, I figured that out. That's pretty good. More on that later. It won't be quite the same as in the past because we will have our COVID restrictions set up in there, but we'll still have a great time. Also, we want to set up a booth at the Post Office Arcade again for a couple of days. And just to let you know, anyone who wants to volunteer for any aspect of our shoebox events, Thursday night at the Harvest Festival, in the post office, packing party, any other time, just let me know when you're available. Pick up shoeboxes and packing information at the table as you leave the service today, and pick up a prayer card. Though you're getting it right now, Penelope passed them out to you, I think. And right now, we're going to end up with a prayer. And Maddox, if you walk over this way, we'll give you the mic. I'll hold the microphone. Maddox is going to end the time with prayer for us for the shoeboxes.
Dear Lord, please let us pack these boxes with love. And when these kids open the boxes, let them feel your joy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maddox. That's wonderful. Anyway, at the end of the time, we'll be over at the table. Come and ask questions, and we'll talk. Thank you, guys, very, very much. You did a wonderful job.
Amen. Thank you, Janison.
Can the worship team come on up? I'm just going to do a quick call to worship, we call it. How many remember Noreen Sutherland? She would always say, I'm going to do a call to worship. And I'd go, what does that mean? And she would just be getting her heart ready and saying, why do we worship? And what is worship going to mean for me this morning? So this is what I want to share. It's going to take a minute or two. This scarf, I know, Claudia, you're going to appreciate this. This scarf is many, many, many years old. But when it first was made, it was the coolest yarn I'd ever seen. And I loved it. And it had all these bright colors. And I asked someone if they could make it. And she said, I know how to make it. And it was very expensive to me at the time. And I was like, I'll pay it. I want to give it to my mom. And I gave it to my mom. And I was so excited to give it to her. And she loved it. And she wore it all the time. And as my mom got sicker and sicker, and then she had dementia, and she didn't remember to grab her scarf. And I always was afraid she was going to lose it. And then many years later, when my mom passed, I found my mom's scarf. And many times when she was wearing it, I'd go, oh, that would look really good with this outfit. And I'd go, no, don't ask for your mom's scarf. You know, you bought it for your mom. Well, then when I got the scarf and I started to wear it. And I was doing children's ministry and I told the children I had a nightmare. And they're like, what was your nightmare? I said I had a dream that my scarf was talking to me. And the kids loved it. I don't know if the kids were here, I've heard this story. I don't know if it was Buffalo here. And the scarf was talking to me. And I was like, do you know how much I love you? I mean, you have been with me for years. You were with my mom. I have so many fond memories of you. I love to put you around my neck. And I was talking to it just like a character, right? And the scarf's like, you know what? I don't want to be a scarf anymore. It's like, what do you mean? You're a beautiful scarf. You're made with this really unique knit. And it's so gorgeous. Like, I don't want to be a scarf anymore. You don't want to go around my neck. You don't want to keep people. I don't want to be a scarf anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And I woke up and the kids were like, that's weird. And I said, yeah. And you know what the Lord showed me? That he created us incredibly intricately to worship him, to walk with him, to know and ask, which way should I go? Just like Reed said, which way do I go? He made us for that because he loves us. And every experience, he wants to have it with us. And how sad it would be if we went, you know what, God? No, I'm not interested. It'd be like, but that's what you were made for. So I just want to encourage you that you were infinitely and wonderfully made, just like the scarf. And enjoy being who you are and enjoy your creator this morning. Amen? Amen. All right, everybody up on your feet. All right. The B team. Jonathan's away. I'm going to call myself the B team. Reed's like, oh, Santa, we're not out of guitar. I'm like, Reed, you can do this. You can find my beat. Amen, right? All right, here we go.
Good morning. And let's say buenos dias. Good, good. This morning, Pastor Ron is going to share in Ephesians chapter 4, and you're going to see just how incredibly amazing God has created this thing called the body of Christ and all the different parts of it. And, you know, as I was thinking about these scriptures, my wife and I, we just went over town for just a quick jaunt to go run into a couple nephew and their family. And as we were going over town, we got on the 710 and huge trucks, right, carrying those big boxes that are basically hanging out in the ocean, and we're waiting for them to move on. And so, you know, we're behind those lines, and we go up north, and our nephew lives right by the airport. And so instead of having us go on the 405, it had us get off the 405 and get on another bunch of roads, and we ended up getting there. Well, this morning when we got up at, 4 o'clock to come back this way, it had me go on the 405. And as I was driving back this way, I saw a completely different set of vehicles. You know, a lot of them were just cars, people getting up early, going wherever they were going, a couple of moving trucks, you know, a couple of things here and there. But it just started to remind me of the diversity of what we see just driving on the freeway, you know, and just how each vehicle has its own purpose. Each vehicle has a unique purpose, just like each one of you. You're all uniquely created by God for a reason. And one of the things I was meditating on this morning as I was driving back to the boat is that we ended up on, you know, just getting on the 405 and coming straight south and to the 710. And I just felt like the Lord was just reminding me of how his spirit moves. Because see, I didn't know how the traffic was going north on the 405, but my GPS did. It knew that there was going to be some problems up ahead, so it had me pull off and go ahead and take other roads, take surface roads. And that's kind of what God does for us. The key is to be sensitive to his prompting, to get a sense of what he's saying. Same vehicle, you're still you. You're still traveling from one place to the other. But maybe God might have you go on a little jaunt, maybe off the freeway, to go do something that maybe you're not used to. Maybe you're used to going one way, and God may say, no, I'm going to lead you in a new way. I want you to experience something. I want you to see something. I want to reveal something to you. And so as he teaches us this morning, I just want to encourage you to keep your hearts open to what the Spirit may be leading. His GPS may be changing some things for you this morning because he's going to speak to you, because he's going to lead you. But the key is that we're all in this together, all of us. We all have a place, we all have a purpose, and we're all going in the direction that the Lord's leading us. Amen? I'd like to pray a blessing on Pastor Ron. Father, thank you for our gathering. Thank you for our time, Lord God, that we have to get up and enjoy this beautiful day and this beautiful place, but especially to enjoy you. You are the beautiful one. And we're so grateful for what you've done in our lives and what you continue to do in us and through us. I ask God that you would widen our hearts to receive all that you have for us, Lord God, through the teaching of the scriptures, and that we would receive from you, Lord God, direction, and Father, that we would have a sense of your prompting as you lead us by your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can stand true on the things that you've described and revealed in your scriptures. Thank you, Father, that we have you coming alongside and leading. And so, Father, continue to bless our time together, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen, of the sweetest of loves. Well, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more than we'll ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is
diversity in a new way. We want to be sensitive to what your spirit is saying to us. We want to be more aware of it.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
You didn't want heaven without us. for bringing us the word this morning, Ron. Blessings, blessings.
Thank you for leading us before God's throne in praise, Santa. What's this band B stuff, huh? Let's give the band a hand. No such thing in God's kingdom as Band B, because there's no such thing in God's kingdom as Plan B, right? Anybody who gets up here and sings praises to the name of our Lord and Father, they are doing it in the Spirit, and we appreciate that. We appreciate anybody who brings us before God's throne, to sing praises, to feel His grace, to feel His glory, and we are glad that all of you are here today. Not just here in the flesh, but also here in the flash, right there on the phone. You know, Enrique, that was a great picture you gave us this morning. You know, we're all here, we're all gathered. Even on the phone, we are gathered here, even though they're there. And we're here, we're still here, right? Essentially, spiritually speaking, we are united. We are one. We are listening to God's word together. And that's amazing that we can do that. Some of you came up here in golf carts. Some of you walked. Some of you came up in, I wish Pablo would have brought his big vroom, 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 you know, his Indian motorcycle. Well, that's right. Keep praying for that motorcycle. We got to go lay hands on it a little later. But we got here, didn't we? We got here. We're joined together as one. We got here different ways. But are we a different body of Christ? We got here to make the body of Christ, essentially, to present the body of Christ here, presently, as people gathered together to give God the praise that He so richly deserves. And we do it in our diversity. We do it with our differences combined together. And are those differences difficulties for us? Is that hard for us to do? Not in His name. Not as we focus on Him and not focus on who? Ourselves. Because when we focus on ourselves, all of a sudden those differences begin to stand out, right? But as we focus on Him and who we are in Him, oh no. Now we begin to draw it together in our similarities, in what we do have in common, especially what we have in common in Jesus Christ. Last night, I got to admit, I stayed up too late. I got hooked on a new TV show about being a cowboy. How to be a cowboy. And there's a place called Radiator Ranch where they can teach you how to be a cowboy. And they got people from all over that go there to learn how to be cowboys. And you talk about differences coming together as one. I mean, some people just shouldn't be in jeans, you know? Some people shouldn't get close to a horse. But yet, this guy is doing, he's bringing them together, and out of their diversity, he's showing them what they have in common. We are all essentially human beings. We fit on a horse one way, one correct way. We try to fit on a horse many different ways, but there's one correct way, and he's there to show them the correct way, and that's the cowboy way, right? So with differences, we can all be cowboys, even though we have differences. When you go down to get on a boat, what happens if all of a sudden, instead of seeing one of the big catamarans, you see one of the monohulls? You kind of feel bummed, right? But it's a boat, right? Isn't it going to do the same thing for you, get you to the mainland? And when you get to the mainland, we get in different cars and everything. We might be going to the same place. Those differences are okay. They're okay that we experience them. They're okay that we experience others around us that are different. It's not a bad thing. How many of you ever watched, speaking of TV shows, Little People, Big World? Have you ever watched that? I haven't either. But I read about it. I read about these people, who it's about. Little People, Big World has gone on for 22 seasons, and you haven't watched it? You probably aren't used to watching TLC, right? You're used to watching something like ESPN, or if you're a man. But yes, Little People, Big World is about Matt and Amy Roloff. Matt and Amy Roloff are dwarfs. They're dwarfs, and they live on a 34-acre ranch, and they bring people in to show them how to ranch. And yet they are small people, and they will bring anybody into their ranch to show them how to ranch, and they have been running this ranch successfully for 34 years with their four children. The two first children, the first ones born, were twins, and interestingly enough, one was a dwarf and one was not. And the other two are normal size. And yet, when they have children, one of them was a dwarf also. I mean, it's interesting, the dynamics. But to watch these families get along, and to watch these groups get along in a ranch, which is a tough, tough place to live, and to help one another out, simply because one is small, another can help out by lifting or what have you. It's amazing how small people can do things for large people that you're not really used to unless you're placed in the place that happens to be an advantage. But it's an amazing thing to watch. And when Amy was first approached about doing this, she was not very excited. She said, you know what, I don't want to do it because I don't want to relive the pain that I went through as a small person, as a dwarf, growing up and feeling different, feeling less than, feeling unworthy. She had laid those hurts to rest, and she didn't want to re-expose herself to public criticism, to expose her difference to others and feel the way they treated that difference, because it wasn't right. It wasn't helpful. It was harmful. But she decided to do the show anyway, realizing that in being a little person, owning her life with its dwarfism, being a little person and sharing how she learned first to love herself might allow others to understand and to relate to those who are viewed as different. And she might help people view others who are different in a different way, in a different light, in a much better light. So she decided to go ahead and do that, to help others love themselves better too, as she put it. She says, my scars made me the beautiful person I am. My scars, not the fact that she was dwarf, but the scars that she received from other people who couldn't understand dwarfism, or who couldn't deal with it. Dwarfism perfectly makes Amy who she is, she says. Now, that took a lot of self-understanding. I am who I am because of my dwarfism. Wow. And all of our imperfections, all of our imperfections, far from making us less than, actually do transform us perfectly into the people we really are, the people we were designed to be. If we can kind of pull what she has pulled, understand what she has understood, apply those things about herself to ourselves, it's amazing that we don't worry about ourselves anymore, and we're able to look at others differently as we wish they would be able to look at us and see us, because we're not focused on the differences anymore. In the end, I believe Amy Roloff and also poet Andre Lorde are right. They say it's not our differences that divide us. It's our inability to recognize, to accept, and to fully celebrate those differences. That is what divides us. And that's so true. And that's so true. And in this divisive age, there's no escaping the fact that we are different. We tell ourselves that every day. We confront each other with our differences. They're broadcasted to us daily in these trying times that we're living in. Even if we're not watching arguments break out on cable news and social media, and if you don't want to watch arguments, don't turn those on because that's all they're based on anymore. We're voicing our disagreements with people from all walks of life, and usually as we do that, we have a tendency of kind of blowing things out of proportion. Actually, we hold much in common, we human beings, if we really want to look at what we hold in common. And as we look at those who are saved, who are in Christ, we have even more in common. For example, how many of you are sinners? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to raise your hand. But it was good seeing those hands raised. We're all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory, of God's desires. It's our human nature. You cannot be human and not be a sinner. And no matter our efforts, we can't save ourselves from our sin, right? We have that in common. We have that in common. Let's start at the base level. That's what we have in common. Thankfully, we are also, however, united in the saving love and in the saving grace of our God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the workings of the Holy Spirit, right? All who have received Jesus as the Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit indwelling, yes, we indeed now have the power to be saved, but it's still not by ourselves. And we have that in common. And that is a grand thing and a great thing to have in common. But amazingly, we still argue over different beliefs in how exactly Jesus' atoning on the cross affects us, how it works. That's what I find is least fascinating about theology. Is arguing over the grace of God and how the grace of God works. Accept it fully. Praise God for it. Instead, the fact that we've been graciously saved should cause us to unite together and should rejoice together. Amen? I mean, if we fully understood that and if we fully focused on it, that's all we would be doing is rejoicing. Let me read you Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's discussion on this. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm just going to read half of it, verses 1 through 16. Paul's in prison. He says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. There's one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles. He gave the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain a unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all mature to manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as Christ matured, to understand that oneness and that unity that he had with God, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What builds itself up in love? The body of Jesus Christ, when correctly attached to the head and focused on the head, it builds itself up in love. We're talking about building the body of Christ. It's the time, best time of the year to do that, as we come back from our season of being kind of beaten up and bruised, of serving others, yes, of serving others. And now we come back and let's build each other up again, speaking the truth in love. Yeah, Ephesians is it's a different book. It's different even for Paul. Its structure is different from Paul's other letters in that it contains extensive references to his other writings. In some cases, direct quotes from Paul's other letters. In fact, about a third of Colossians appears here again in Ephesians in some form or another. But references to the church are not to individual congregations. They're not to groups meeting in homes, but to the whole church, the church of God at large. And that's why this particular epistle was supposed to be read not just by the Ephesian church, but it was supposed to be passed on as a circular letter for other churches to read as well, because it holds very important truths that the church as a whole needs to understand if it is to indeed be the one body of Jesus Christ. Scholars have long puzzled over the book. And of course, yeah, we're gonna argue over who wrote it, when it was written, and et cetera, instead of taking it to heart, applying it, and allowing it to do its job. Ephesians 4 calls us to unity, a unity found within and based on our diversity, that God wants to make this diverse group one very powerfully in Him. And that's our calling as believers, and that's how God planned it from the beginning. Verses 1 through 6, Paul begs us to lead a life worthy of that calling, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we understand love, God's love, agape love. Not only understand it, but have it living within us. Apply it to our lives first in finding out how much God loves us, understanding how much He loves us. Because only as we understand that can we then effectively turn that love to others, and love them with that same kind of love, that agape love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He clarifies that we're called to remember that there's one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one. It's so redundant, how can we possibly miss it? The oneness that we are supposed to attain, the oneness that we are supposed to be in Christ, who is over all, through all, and in all, creating all to be unified in one. In other words, He's uniting all into one. In verses 11 through 12, in Jesus Christ and through His Holy Spirit, He says we've been given these various diverse functions, people to apply these different functions for the body's oneness, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that all the saints may be equipped for ministry. To do what? Ministry for what reason? To build up the body of Christ. We have differences, yes. We all have different needs. There are many different needs in the body. And that's why we need all of these different people functioning in different tasks to then keep our oneness together, to keep us united, to keep us healthy, to keep us growing, to keep us building. Our leaders are called truly to be leaders, and it's these leaders who invite then all God's children to come to a place where we speak the truth in love, together as one, which is the only way that we'll be able to grow together in Christ, individually and as one as the body of Christ. Verses 15 and 16, we do all this properly together, the body of Christ building itself up. How? Again, and again in love. This is a profound call to unity, perhaps the most profound in all of Scripture, in 15 through 16, calling us to make our God-given diversity a uniter, a unifier, a powerful love that joins us tightly together. Notice, beloved, Paul does not deny that there are differences. Rather, he addresses them in a different fashion than anyone else. He doesn't see differences as defenses or fences designed to keep us apart, essentially. He doesn't see them as defenses. He doesn't see them as things to keep us safe from other people's point of views. That's how we see them. He's concerned about a unity based on fear, because you cannot have a unity based on fear. Or if you do, it is a pathetic thing to realize, to see. You got a bunch of people thinking that they're one, but yet they're not, because they're too afraid of each other and getting way too close to them and what that other person is going to do. It allows people in because they're similar, because they're alike, or you could say I like them, and fences other people who are different out. Fear groups break down into emotional groups and social, they build social fences around those particular groups. Speaking firmly but lovingly, Paul teaches that a unity based on being afraid to address concerns, being afraid to address disagreements, is not a true unity. And a unity that comes because some people are marginalized and pushed out of the church is not a true unity. And a unity that comes because people talk about bad persons or talk bad about persons A to persons B, C, and D, that's not a true unity. You're not unified because you're seeing other people's differences as being something that you can't be around. Sorry. And yet that's what we gather around many, many times. Because of all these types of unity are built on fear, they're not what we need, and they're not what Paul requests. He says you got to build it on love. Love has to be love. And what does the Bible say about love versus fear? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with judgment and punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We have to concentrate on love, especially if we know that we are a fearful person. Spend more time perfecting ourselves with love, perfecting love within ourselves. And that's not going to be something that we are capable of doing to and for ourselves. It means that we have to spend time with God, allowing Him and His Holy Spirit to lovingly work in our lives, to do that transformation in the power of love. Now, it's not easy. Yes, we do struggle. We do not want to experience the discomfort of conflict, even if it's within ourselves. We don't, but we need to. We have so much fear. We live with so much fear around us. And when faced with conflict, all too often, our fleshly fear causes us to revert to some primitive reflex that causes us to either fight or to run, to flee. But again, what is it that casts out fear? Love. Love. That's where our concentration needs to be. That's where our heart needs to be. Few Bible commands are more difficult or more essential to execute then love one another. In spite of your differences, love one another. It's not an easy job when arguing is so much more satisfying. Ultimately, however, it's important to recognize that our common need is for a Savior first and foremost, right? No matter who we are sitting next to, the most common need we both share is for a Savior who loved us so much that that he died on the cross. And you cannot get more love than that, that Savior himself says. You cannot show more love than that. Only then can we remove the log from our own eye, take care of the speck that's in our fellow Christian's eye, is when we understand that power of love. So it appears that the real lesson for this morning is finding the answer to the question, how do we learn to appreciate our God-given diversity while still honoring our common need for Jesus Christ? And that is to share his love. Share his love. It's my guess that most of us here today would agree that life would be boring if we all looked, thought, or behaved in the exact same manner, right? And it would be. We're all just clones. And we've also learned over this last year and a half that being carbon copies of one another actually makes us more vulnerable to illnesses and other issues. Interestingly, diversity can and will strengthen us if we look at it the right way, if we look at it through the prism of love. It can even do so when it's viewed diversity as a problem. Believe it or not. Even though it can be difficult for some to handle diversity of thought, when they do so, it actually reinforces their own personal beliefs. At least that's what I found in my situation. As I open up and accept another person's point of view that mine might not be the one that's totally correct, hey, I find I just had a little spurt of growth. I just realized something new about myself and opened up for a little growth within myself. It's interesting. It can and will strengthen us. Diversity can. It's a good and necessary thing. It can be a strength to the body of Christ. An example is the diversity of gifts that he gives, the diversity of people that he uses. If unity is to be achieved among us, the church must authentically experience, understand, and demonstrate unity in diversity. Unity in diversity in the body of Christ. With these points in mind, I want to look at three simple steps that I want us to kind of focus on for this week. Three simple steps. Number one, review some Bible verses about loving one another. The Bible is chock full, especially the New Testament, of verses that literally, especially from Jesus, command us to love one another despite our differences. And the apostles also agree, obviously, with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply and do it from the heart. Other verses to read include Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let brotherly love continue, and let it continue to grow you. John chapter 15, Jesus gives that famous command, love one another as what? As I have loved you. Now, in order for us to love one another, he says, we first have to understand how he has loved us. And that love needs to be there through his Holy Spirit for us then to turn it to helping others. So review Bible verses about loving one another. And then, as you're living your life, even as you're sitting and watching people like get on or off a boat, if you got some time, look for signs of grace. Not signs of sin or weakness. Look for signs of grace in others. As a mere human, it's not our job to judge. And we do so. We judge arbitrarily every day. Think of the cliches about stone and glass houses, right? Don't cast stones, because we all live in glass houses. Instead of hunting for sins in those with whom we disagree, search for signs of grace in those in whom we disagree, which may be difficult at first. In an increasingly negative culture, we naturally seek out fault. If necessary, yes, begin small, and it is necessary. Begin small. For example, our so-called enemies may demonstrate love for their family members, They may actually use polite phrases like please and thank you. So begin by at least recognizing and appreciating their positive qualities. It's amazing how there will become more and more positive qualities than there are negative qualities. And lastly, be the first to try for reconciliation. Don't wait for somebody else to make peace. If we all took a passive approach to developing unity as Christians, we'd never manage to gather as brothers or sisters in Christ. Make the move. Be the mover in Christ. Remember, we don't have to agree with others in order to accept them. We may never arrive at a full agreement or understanding, but we can still appreciate that as humans, we and every other, whether they be friend or foe, hold a lot in common. Focus on what we hold in common. And breaking all of this down allows us to see the bare bones of what God expects of us as a Christian body. And that's what Ephesians 4 actually does. It breaks it down. Paul does a great job of doing it. If you read it over and over again, concentrate on it. Contemplate it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you the lessons that he desires to teach. Can we put it more succinctly? We need to bear with one another in love. That's where we're at right now. Bear with one another in love. Living and encouraging each other in love. How many times have each of us needed someone to come alongside and to bear a burden? The weight of life is crushing at times. We know it. Without having someone we trust or love to come and lift us up, it becomes unbearable. I know I've walked alongside friends and family who have suffered immensely, and they have walked alongside with me, and I've appreciated them. Lost jobs, crushing financial burdens, adultery, death and sickness, loss of faith, loss of hope, mental illness. When we think of all of the burdens, it's difficult to comprehend how we as humans have the strength to do it all. And the truth is, we don't. And when it comes to fixing any of it, we can't. But the blessing is that the truth to that, the inner truth to that truth that we can't, is that we're not doing it alone. We're not relying on ourselves to fix it. We're relying on God to fix it. We were never designed to fix it. We were designed to be one with him, unified with him, who is the great fixer. Now, I don't just mean God is doing it for us, although he is. I mean, he uses each of us to help one another, to bear with one another in love, to get us through it. And as we do, we gain humility. As we do, we gain gentleness. As we do, we gain patience, those things that only love provides, because it's the love that we're feeling. It's the love that's transforming us. We achieve our goal of maintaining peace and unity only through that love. And see, beloved, when we break it down, it doesn't seem so insurmountable. Ephesians 4 goes on to explain further, verses 17 on, goes on how to work together in community with each other as one body. Don't worry, we're not going to go through it this morning. It's a beautiful picture, however, and I encourage each one of you, each one of us, to read through it this week. But for today, I want to encourage us to search for ways that we can help bear someone's burden. How we can show gentleness and love to someone in need. It doesn't have to be complicated, doesn't have to be extreme. Sometimes all we need is for someone to say, I see you, and I'm here to help. How can I help? Consider them divine appointments, and God will give you plenty of them throughout your days. Or perhaps we are the one in need of someone to come alongside us. And if so, seek out someone you can trust to show you genuine love and to stop trying to bear your burdens alone. God never intended for us to live life solo. He made us for community. One body through one spirit, serving one Lord with all of our love through the talents and the gifts that he's given to each one of us. And we have the power. We have the ability. Now let's get going. I'm going to close with Ephesians chapter 4, 15 through 16 again as our prayer, and consider it as a prayer. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And all God's people said.
I like that. Look for grace. I once, my nephew has an opportunity to do the videoing of, help me, Enrique, what's the name of the Warriors? Wounded Warrior Project. And he met a man that didn't have his legs, and he talked about how much joy and what a heart of gratitude he had, that when he was talking about the Wounded Warrior Project and what it's meant to him and his family, he was weeping over all the people, even in the office, that made it such a beautiful organization. You know, so I just thought, wow, that's really cool to start looking for people that just you see the grace in their life. We're going to end service today with a special thing. Why don't you come up, Beth? Beth is going to share a little bit about, but we're going to be singing a song that's being sung across the nation today on this day. And it's to support thank you. I don't want to steal your thunder. She's going to share it all. But anyway, so we're going to do a song that she's going to lead us to. But go ahead and share a little bit really quickly about who's doing this and what we're trying to attention to.
Okay, thanks. It's great to be here today and singing this song. And we have the privilege of participating in the global hymn sing, where people all around the world are going to be singing this song today. Oh, so it's the fourth year that the Gettys have done this. And so they've partnered with Voice of the Martyrs and in doing this. And Kristen Getty is going to be singing a version of this song in the Voice of the Martyrs movie, Sabina, the Nazi, Tortured for Christ, the Nazi years. And so those of you on the mainland that are listening will have the opportunity to see that in the movie theaters, if you wish, on November the 8th through the 11th. And this is about sort of the start of Voice of the Martyrs. And if you have any other questions about that or the Gettys themselves or the song we're going to be singing in the background on that, I'd love to talk with you later. So
thanks, Beth.
So we'll be singing It Is Well With My Soul and verses 1, 3, and 4.
Tender my way.
Thank you.
Everybody have a blessed day. That was beautiful, Beth. Thank you so much. Woo!